Sports Ethos New York Knicks podcast, Andre Gallagher, another special guest, man. New York sports anchor for the New York Post, for SNY, host of New York Got Game, Dexter Henry on the pod today. What's up, my man?
What's going on, Dre? Appreciate you having me here. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, brother. Let's get right to the breaking news. KP hurt during this game. I saw Woj report that they don't think it's the Achilles, but it might be that same calf injury that Giannis has.
Yeah, and that's what I was seeing, right? Calf injury when he got a pass from Jaylen Brown. I did not see this injury happen, but this is a huge blow for the Celtics. Now, can the Celtics win another round without Porzingis? Yeah, but for them to work the way they want things to work, he was their big trade this offseason along with Jrue Holiday in terms of reshaping that team. Yeah, that's not good. And I'm seeing, he had some frustration as he was going to the locker room. So Celtics said right calf tightness and that he wouldn't return to that game four against the Heat and then didn't return with the team for the third period. So not good. It's not good. Good that it's not an Achilles injury, but not good for the Celtics.
Yeah, that's really scary for them because KP is kind of the key to everything they do. The fact that he can stand 3 feet, 4 feet behind the three-point line and stretch the defense and play defense as well, the way he's been playing defense, it changes the whole game if he's not in there. So, you don't want to win that way. So you want to wish him, the best health and get back on the floor. But that if it's a Giannis injury, he's looking at 2 weeks probably.
Yeah, and I mean, that's best case scenario. Like I said, my Celtics should be able to still take care of Miami without him.
Yeah.
And you would think if whoever they play in the next round, whether it's Cleveland or Orlando, they still should probably be able to win that series too, but it won't be as easy. Yeah. I think especially if they play a good defensive team like Orlando. But yeah, man, if it's not that bad and he's out for 2 weeks, that's huge for them. But anything with lower extremities, man, it's tough. It's really tough to get back at this time of year.
Right. These playoffs, hey, it's a grind. And I saw you talking to Ty Butler, host for 98.7 ESPN Radio on your show, New York Got Game today. And he mentioned, and this is perfect timing, the role players that stepped up for the Knicks in game four. With the injury to Bogey and the injuries the Knicks keep having to Mitch after game three, thanks to Embiid, these guys are really coming through for the team.
Yeah, they are. And I think that, when I was talking to Ty about that on the show, I thought it was important when you looked at what happened for the Knicks in game four. I think so much has been made about Jalen Brunson. And obviously, historic game that he had with the 47-10. But they do not win that game, Andre, without the contributions of the role players.
No way.
Josh Hart is going to get a lot of looks with the rebounds, 17 boards. And I do think there's something to giving Josh Hart this praise, as great as he's been the last couple of months of the season into these playoffs. What he showed you in terms of being a role player was, okay, the shot wasn't falling. I mean, offensively, Josh Hart was not good in game four, but he gave you that effort on defense, gave you clearly that effort on the glass, which he's amazing at. Grabbing all those boards. And, when I look at the other players, how they helped him, Miles McBride shooting was key on a day where Dante DiVincenzo didn't have it, right? Dante DiVincenzo deserves credit because he hit two.
Of course.
In the third quarter. The players, to me, Josh Hart's one, but, and Ty talked about this too with me, and I agree with him, the two other players to me that were, amazing, and they played down the stretch of this game, OG Anunoby, who's just tremendous as a defender and what he did on the glass. But I was really impressed with Precious Achiuwa, along with Miles McBride and their perimeter defense and how they closed out. That was some of the keys that, the Knicks are doubling Joel Embiid, fronting him with OG Anunoby, but the rotations were crisp. The communication was amazing. The closeouts were tremendous there from Precious and Miles McBride. I thought those two guys defensively were amazing. And, it sounds cliche, and for those of us that love the sport of basketball, you're not going to shoot well every night. Some nights the shots aren't going to be there. The shot isn't going to be there, excuse me. But you can always give that effort on defense. And I think that's what really won the Knicks that game. They got enough offense from Brunson, But those role players, all of those role players we just mentioned, they all were tremendous defensively. And I think that was huge in the Knicks winning that game.
Absolutely. And you hear Tibbs say it all the time. You got to win in different ways. And Precious stepping up for Mitch. You know, we talked about it on this pod, how, you know, Precious offers a different dimension for them defensively. And you heard Precious talk about him and OG both talking about how they have like a synergy defensively because they played so many years together. They kind of read each other and respond and react to each other in a different way than the other Knick players, because they didn't play together as long as those two have. And I hope the Knicks take advantage of that going forward, because what Precious did with Embiid, the rotation, switching on to Maxey, switching on to the guards. I mean, you can't, as much as what Mitch does is great, but he can't do that. He can't do that. And it seemed to really catch Philly off guard a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, they were kind of frazzled that the Knicks were moving and rotating as fast as they were at the end of that game. It was almost like Tibbs, he's like he had a secret weapon at the end that kind of just sprung it on Philly, and they were discombobulated. And they talked about it in the post game how, you know, they weren't getting into their sets, and their sets were kind of sluggish, and, you know, they really didn't have a firm grasp of what they wanted to do at the end of that game. And when you mentioned Deuce, mm-hmm. The most important thing about Deuce is that he's not scared at all.
Nah,
he's not scared at all. You know, if you're missing shots one game, no problem. Come back the next game, I'll knock him down. If I'm not going to knock him down, I'm going to rip rebounds out of people's hands. I'm going to pull up at the free throw line, hit jumpers and ones. He's not scared at all. And that's sometimes in the playoffs, that's the biggest difference between teams, is some guys are out there a little shook, and some guys are out there with nothing but guts.
And the thing is, Andre, you don't know any of this with some of these guys if you haven't seen them in the playoffs, right? And I remember I was talking with Stephen Bondi about this before the playoffs started, and he said, look, you know, you're not going to know how Miles McBride is going to react with the bright lights of the stage of the playoffs. So the first time getting major minutes, getting counted on, Precious Achiuwa. I think, and I was saying this to somebody earlier today, I think one of the more underrated things that people don't think about a lot when injuries happen to a team is there's two ways of looking at it. It does take a key part of your team away, but it also gives other guys the opportunity to develop and step up into those roles. And I think because of the culture the Knicks have right now, that cliche next man up mentality, you've seen guys like Miles McBride step into a role and flourish, and they have the confidence and belief of their coach. And look, Tibbs deserves credit for this, because he played Miles McBride, Precious Achiuwa down the stretch. He did not bring back into the game Dante DiVincenzo. He did not bring back into the game Isaiah Hartenstein. He went with what was working, and I think that was key. There were some fresh legs there, guys who gave good minutes. But those minutes, Dre, are huge for Precious Achiuwa and Miles McBride, because their confidence coming off this game, I know if somebody looks at the box score, they're going to say, well, Dexter Precious Achiuwa scored 1 point, and he grabbed 7 boards and had 4 blocks. Yeah. But if you didn't see that defense, and he was 0-5 right. from field, but that defense, he's plus 11, right? The defense was amazing. Miles McBride, too. You know, those are things, they're things that sometimes don't show up in the box score. And I think those guys getting confidence in a game where the Knicks needed it on the road to play big minutes in crunch time and gut out the win, that's huge for them going forward. Because the next time they're in a situation, to your point, Dre, they're not shook. And that matters a ton as you move forward in the playoffs, whether it's this year or in future years for the Knicks and whoever's a part of this core, it's going to matter. These minutes that they're getting now matters. Learning how to win in all these different types of ways, it matters.
Especially now that they're coming back home. If they play with that kind of confidence on the road, I mean, kind of like the road, because, you know. But for the listeners, yeah, the Knicks went down there and they kind of made Wells Fargo MSG's little baby, MSG's little baby. But coming back home and having that confidence on the road, and now coming back home, you know they're gonna have that same confidence here and then some. You know, so you got to feel good about this game five for a few reasons. But you mentioned Tibbs, and listen, I've never been like a big critic of Tibbs. I he's not perfect, but most coaches aren't. And for example, you look at this series, Nick Nurse was a guy that everybody under the sun swore up and down was a better coach than Tibbs. and coach a series like this where it's nip and tuck. Tibbs is the one who's up 3-1, and you can't say that he has Embiid, and you can't say that he has a team that went, what was it, 30-8 or something like that when Embiid and Maxey played. Now, I understand Embiid's a little hobbled, as they say, but still, Nick Nurse was the guy that everybody swore up and down was a better coach than him, but Tibbs is out there doing a very solid job. And one of the things that he struggled with, in my opinion, is he would go down in flames with some of the players who may not have been playing well. And he might have had somebody out there on the floor who was playing well, like a Deuce, for example, like a Precious, but pulled them anyway just to put the starter back in. But you didn't see that in that game. And to be honest with you, you haven't really seen that all year, at least since January. He will ride the hot hand, and because he has faith in more guys, I think, on the roster than he has ever before.
Yeah, I always thought, Andre, that the narrative around Tibbs running guys into the ground, not playing young guys, and not developing young guys, to me, I always thought that was a little bit ridiculous. Yeah. When you look back to what he did in Chicago, you know, development. I mean, Derrick Rose, who was an amazing talent coming out of Memphis as a top pick. Jimmy Butler, great point there, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Luol Deng, Joakim Noah. Jimmy Butler is probably the best in terms of development that he had as a last pick of the first round.
And his agent, even Jimmy's agent, says the same thing. He was on NBA radio with Frank Isola and Brian Scalabrine, and he said that. He said he gave Tibbs a ton of credit for Jimmy's career.
Oh yeah. And I think when you make that point, right, and then you look at what he's done as head coach of the Knicks, look at the development that has come under him, right? Even guys who aren't here anymore, whether it's Emmanuel Quickley, even Quentin Grimes to a degree, Mitchell Robinson, right? You're looking at Miles McBride and Precious Achiuwa. You got to give that man credit for that, and you got to give the man credit for playing those guys in crunch time and allowing them to grow and develop. I think Tibbs has done a fantastic job with this team in terms of changing the culture. He deserves a contract extension. I mean, I think that'll happen after the season. And the guys in that, I'm telling you, I'm around the team. I'll be there for game five. The guys, you know, especially the Villanova guys, they love Tibbs.
They went to bat for him. They went to bat for him when that poll came out. They went to bat for him.
Yep. They love him. And the team is completely bought in to that, right? Completely bought in. And I think that matters so much that these guys believe in him, and you got to give him credit for the development, the togetherness. You look at this Knicks team that's playing right now with no Julius Randle. There's no lottery picks on this team. I think the highest guy drafted on this team is Dante DiVincenzo, I believe.
Yeah.
I believe he was the 17th overall pick the year he was taken. So no lottery picks on this team once Julius Randle's not here. So you got to give credit to the guys that he's developed and helped and to bring along. And it's a testament to the culture. I mean, I've always thought that some of the criticisms of Tibbs weren't fair. I think he's a good coach. I think he deserves a lot more credit than sometimes the fans have given him.
I
think he's shown it. He's taken his team to the playoffs 3 of the last 4 years. They're a win away from being in the second round again for the second consecutive year. This is a damn good coaching job. You just got to call it for what it is.
And I think you touched on it on the New York Got Game show. He got job for coach of the year. He's not even finishing the top three. I mean, come on. Listen, I'm not – Dagnall did an excellent job, but a lot of times with coach of the year, it's almost like it's based on what the media thinks that team was going to do. And I know I placed a bet on OKC to do well this year.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, because why wouldn't they? Chet Holmgren is now joining a team – that was in the play-in last year. Mm-hmm. Everybody has one more year under their belt. Jalen Williams, who will always break my heart because I wanted the Knicks to draft him when they traded that pick away. You knew he was gonna play better. I thought they were going to be good. Who knew they were going to be the one seed? But the difference between the one seed and like the fifth seed was like 2 or 3 games anyway.
Right.
So the fact that people didn't think they were going to do well because they're the youngest team in history and all of that, that's why you're giving him the award. And then Mosley, I thought. Remember when they said that every time the Knicks step on the court, the best player is on the other team? I thought that was the case. If that's the case, then I guess Tibbs deserves some credit
Yeah.
for having
No,
his team where they are.
it's a fair point. You know, it's funny. I said this before. I don't remember who I said it to. I don't remember if it was, I was on another show, but before the start of this playoffs, some people had asked me, "Hey, what do you think the Knicks are going to do in this series?" And I had predicted the Knicks in five, and I hope I'm right. I like to, you know, it's nice when you're right sometimes. But what I did say is, I said, no matter what, I think what people are going to learn from this playoffs with this Knicks team is they're going to learn that there's some really good, there's a good supporting cast here,
Oh,
and
yeah,
there's
there's no
really good
question. They're
role
all
players.
underrated.
Yep, they're all underrated, and you're going to learn about how good these role players are. The country is going to learn how good Josh Hart is, and Isaiah Hartenstein, and OG Anunoby, and why this fits together. And, you know, it makes you wonder, man, what could this team have been if they had Julius Randle and they were playing like they were in January, right?
Dominant. They were
But
one of the most dominant team in the league almost.
yeah, they were playing. They beat the Nuggets. They had great wins. And I think the way the team was built, even looking at it then, I said, okay, this team is built for playoff basketball. And I think when you look at this team and you look at what Tibbs has done, and you look at everything he's gone through this year, the turnover on his roster, right? We're talking about a couple guys, Precious Achiuwa, Bojan Bogdanovic, Dante DiVincenzo, who wasn't even, these are guys who weren't in the rotation till, you know, Dante DiVincenzo entered, what, late to mid, early December, right? He's had guys come into rotation who weren't even there. OG Anunoby, right? There's about four players in this playoff rotation that didn't start the season with the team. So to integrate all that, those guys in, have them buy into the culture, and then still be able to win, that's a big testament to coaching. I think Ty made a great point on my show in which he said, yeah, he thought, you know, Tibbs got jerked and he should have been a finalist. And I think it's fair.
It
I think
is.
that's fair. I think it's fair.
Listen, there's why. Let's talk about Mosley for a second. And this doesn't mean, it's not to tear anybody else down.
Right.
Yeah,
Right.
excellent. He did an excellent job too. But why is the job that he did any better than the job that Tibbs did?
I think where people are going to, I'm not saying I agree with this, but I think what people are going to say is it ties a little to your point about OKC, right? With people's expectations of things.
Right.
And then not being able to switch that in the moment of looking at what's going on in the season. Again, I'm with you. This is no shade to Jamal Mosley, who I think did a fantastic job.
I'm glad he's getting credit.
Yep, and I think he's changing the culture there in Orlando. I think that's a good young defensive team. They still need a point guard. They could get a little bit better offensively, but I think he's really changed the culture, and I like the way they play for the most part. But I think what it is people are like, oh, I didn't think Orlando was going to be there. People had penciled in the Knicks as a top six team.
Right.
But how many people penciled them in as a two seed? And so that's, I think, the
after
point you're
all the
making.
Injuries and
Right.
After all the injuries.
Right.
Come
After
on.
all the injuries, the nuance there matters, right? Like, how many people had said, hey, this team is going to be a two seed in the East? If I had told you at the beginning of the season, Andre, the Knicks would be a two seed in the East and have 50 wins. Now, we'll go on record as I'm somebody who said I thought the Knicks would win 50 games this year. I'd said that at the beginning of the year, and they did. But I didn't think that actually would be enough for them to get the two seed. So
I didn't
I
think
will
they
say
would
I'm
get the
shocked
two
at
seed.
that. Yeah.
I thought the three seed was attainable,
Was
like
attainable?
after December or so, because Philly kind of had a soft schedule to start the year, and they were going to have a tougher schedule, and the Knicks had played like a tougher portion of their schedule, so I thought they might catch up to them a little bit. But then Cleveland got hot at the same time, so it was like, oh, okay, maybe we're not going to quite get there, because next thing you know, Randle and OG got hurt. So, listen, this is a shocker in terms of after the injuries. You know, forget what I thought, you know, anyone else thought in the beginning of the year. Once Julius and OG went down, how could you think that they were going to be able to keep their head above water, no less be the two seed in the Eastern Conference? It's just, I said this on my show, you know, everything that happened this year, and I kind of feel like this has been a special year for the Knicks, and it feels that way. But if they didn't, then they lose. If they lose, it's all lost forever. Because nobody's going to think about it anymore, I don't think. You know, maybe it'll kind of be like Linsanity, and people will have warm, fuzzy memories about the, you know, the couple of weeks where you thought the Knicks were the best thing in the world. But if they lose to Philly or if they lose to Indiana, it's really going to leave a sour taste in people's mouths, unfortunately.
Yeah, because expectations have been raised, and I think people see, and fairly so, I think people see a legitimate path for this team to the conference finals. And I think people, at least in New York, and, you know, I understand growing up as a New Yorker, and I understand what the Knicks fan base is like and how starved the fan base is. I think people will look at this and say, hey, the culture of this team is good. You know, when I'm talking to fans and even when I'm talking to people who cover the team, like myself, there is a lot of talk being like, man, this team feels like those teams in the 90s.
They do.
They have that same energy, and that this is why the city is behind them. And so I think the expectations have been raised. I think, you know, most logical Knicks fans understand that the Boston Celtics are likely a better team right now.
Yeah.
But I think the Knicks fans know that this team can compete with them, even without Julius Randle. They're not scared.
You just want them to try.
Scared. If this Knicks team gets to a conference finals and they lose to the Celtics, let's say in six games,
there's no shame.
There's no shame in that. It is a huge stepping stone for this team, which you would say over the last couple of years has been progressing the right way. The front office has made some extremely smart moves. They've been patient. They haven't done the things of past regimes. And there's no reason to think this Knicks team's not heading in the right direction. They still have all their picks. they don't have a player under a max contract. Obviously, that'll change after next season. But they're in a good position. And I think if you're a Knicks fan, you just have to enjoy the ride. And it's a great time. And you should be excited about the future, because the culture of this team, I know we throw that word around a lot in the media, but the culture of this team is good, in my opinion. And it's something Knicks fans should really be excited about.
That's right. Stay in the moment. Enjoy it.
Yeah, man.
Enjoy it while it lasts. It's not promised. But let's get quickly into this game five.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen, we're up 3-1. I'm not the cockiest of fans in the world. When I was a kid in the 90s, I would see people up 3-1, and I would say, I mean, if you win that next game, and now you get to go home, and the pressure's on the other team to not want game seven, because game seven is his own entity. I don't count game seven when you're down 3-1. I don't count it, because once you get there, it's even. It doesn't matter how you got there anymore. The pressure, and I don't think the Knicks feel it. The Knicks, they're pros. They're gutsy. They're not scared of nothing. But in conversation, the pressure, I feel like, is on the Knicks to get this done in game five. And I don't think Philly is coming into this game with a whole lot of confidence. I don't think they have confidence in Nick Nurse's game plan. I think I saw some comments from Oubre, some stuff he said. A lot of Knicks fans took umbrage too when he was talking about Jalen's shot numbers. But I also think that he was saying, hey, we let him shoot that many times. They changed their strategy on Brunson the last couple games. They decided to guard Josh more.
It did.
Right? And let him cook in the middle and take all of those shots the last two games. And I don't think, listening to them in the postgame, I don't think that they're all that excited about that strategy. And they may put it back on Josh, on Dante, on Precious now, because Bogey's out, and whoever's going to come in the game, and Deuce, to make plays, as opposed to having Brunson go out there for another 50 points at the Garden. What do you think they're going to do tomorrow? Is it going to be more Brunson, or are we going to expect a big game from Devo and Josh?
I think they're going to mix and match it. I think, one thing I'll say first, right? I think we have to give Brunson a ton of credit adjusting to the Philadelphia defense, because it was affecting him the first two games. I think he adjusted, and I think he's such a patient player that he was able to adjust and find the weak spots in the defense. But to your point, you're right. They have been playing tighter on Josh Hart and taking away his shot. They were daring him to beat him in the first two games. He goes 8-15 from downtown, and then they started paying attention to him. Now, I think overall the Knicks are going to have to shoot better from downtown in this game five. They only shot 25%, 7 of 27 in game four. So you need some guys. You know, OG was 0-4, Dante DiVincenzo 2 of 7, Josh Hart 0-3. Here's the thing: we know role players in the playoffs generally tend to shoot better at home.
Mm-hmm.
So I would expect a little bit more regression to the mean on that in game five. But I do think Philly is going to go back to their initial strategy. I think they're going to be a little more aggressive on Brunson and dare Hart and others to beat him. I think the Knicks role players are going to be ready. The thing you trust about Brunson is Brunson is patient, as I said, and he trusts his teammates to knock down the shots. So I think they're going to be ready. I think McBride and Dante DiVincenzo, I don't know why, I have a good vibe about a big game coming from Dante DiVincenzo.
I do too. I do too. Because you know what? He's a ballsy player. He's a prideful player. He hasn't played as well as he wanted to play. He was a hero at game two. You know he wants to come out here and finish this thing off. And you know it. You know it. Josh is also a prideful player. He didn't play well. They missed his free throws. I think these guys are going to come back in this game almost like they lost. You know, sometimes, you know, the attitude you have when you lose a game, you come out and it's just a little bit extra. I know it's the playoffs and you're supposed to be on a full tank all the time, but there's always just a little bit more that you can do. And I think these guys are going to come out and want to prove something in game five. I think this is a huge game. The Knicks has got to do it. They got to knock it out in this game. You don't want to go back to Philly in game six. You know it's going to be a madhouse after the debacle that was game four. So, you know, you want to knock this on out. But Dexter, man, I appreciate you coming on the show. Appreciate your Nick insights. Make sure you follow Dexter Henry on Twitter at DHenryTV on Twitter. Hey, man, thanks a lot. Check out New York Got Game. Always fresh takes on New York sports scene. All the sports, right?
Yeah, man, all the sports, but New York Got Game is our New York basketball show. So we do all the New York basketball. You know, right now it's Knicks time. So we're focusing heavy on the Knicks with Liberty coming soon. But yeah, man, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I love what you're doing. Shout out to all the Knicks content creators and yourself, and keep doing it, man. I got to get you on the show. We'll make that happen. We got to get you on the show.
Can't wait, man. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Take care, man.
Dexter Henry at DHenryTV on Twitter. That's a big guest, boy. That's a big, big guest for this big game tonight. Tonight. You know who we didn't mention? We didn't mention OG when we listed all of the role players who we think are going to step up. I know he would have mentioned OG. I forgot to mention OG. He got it. OG had a big game this last game, and OG got lit. He got lit out there. He was excited. He was pumped. If you know anything about OG, you know he's kind of low-key, even keel all the time. He was animated in that game yesterday. There was even a play where Miles McBride took a three in the corner and he was open on the perimeter. And just to tell you how quickly OG is moving around on the court, I don't know if you can get this perspective, if I can convey this properly. But I watched the play. And then OG, after the shot, Miles took a shot in the corner. It was kind of contested, but, you know, he missed it. OG motioned to Miles that he was open on the wing. And that made me look at the play again, because you never see OG talking to people in the court about stuff like that. I've never seen OG telling somebody, hey, you had me open. Like, he just goes on to the next play. And it made me go look at the play, because OG was almost in the paint when he told Miles McBride that he was open on the wing. It was like he used hand signals. He was like, he put his hands out like you're going to catch the ball for a shot, and he pointed to the wing. And I was like, how was he open on the wing? He was just standing in the paint. I rewound the play, and lo and behold, OG is wide open on the wing. Miles takes a shot, and this is not a knock on Miles. This happens in the game. You know, sometimes you got to have tunnel vision. But in the time that Miles took that shot, OG went from being a couple steps behind the line to a foot inside the paint. That's how these Knicks are playing right now. Now, on one hand, you could say if they end up playing the Pacers or even the Sixers in this next game, if you keep crashing the boards from the three-point line, you're going to get caught in transition. But on the other hand, man, these guys, this is in the fourth quarter. These guys are hustling around the court trying to make every single play. And that's been a difference in the series. It may seem like a simple play, but, you know, the way these guys are playing, he's fighting with Embiid out there. You know, to have that kind of energy to sprint from the three-point line to the paint, and then, you know, there was a whistle, so he didn't have to, I think there was a whistle, he didn't necessarily have to sprint full speed back on defense, but you know that he's going to if he had to. You know, that's a lot of running that a lot of other teams are not accustomed to doing, period. So, you know, deserves all the credit. Now, listen, Dexter mentioned he'll be at the game. I neglected to mention that I'll also be at the game. Lucky. Shout out to Brian for the tickets to the game tonight. I'm going to do all the vocal exercises that great singers do, because I'm going to scream my lungs out in this game. I'm going to make this game a living hell for the 76ers. I don't want to hear any of those lulls. The Garden has been great, but I don't want to hear any of those lulls when things start getting down. No, no, no. Let's have the defense chant every play. Let's get into it. Let's make it a living hell for them. I hear Embiid has a migraine. Perfect. We don't wish for injuries around here. But you're going to play this game with a migraine, it's going to be a pain in the butt. If he really has a migraine, it's going to be a pain in the butt. It really is. Migraine is a brand new injury, by the way. This guy's having one thing after the other. You know, taking him at his word. And maybe it's associated with the Bell's palsy. But goodness gracious. You know how sometimes NBA players reach out to vets just to get an idea what their diet is, you know, what their routines are. I want to know what Embiid is doing if I'm a rookie. Because I don't want to do nothing he's doing. Whatever he's doing, I'm off that boy. Sheesh. I better not see no picture like I saw with Embiid over the last couple of days where he had blood on his injured knee on the leggings, the white leggings. There was blood on it. People were circulating that picture. Like, we don't know. He has like 15 knee braces on. There's no way blood has soaked through those braces onto those leggings. Give me a break. I better not see like a headband with blood on it and you're going to tell me about his migraine. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. Stop feeding into this nonsense. I know he's hurt, but he is doing too much. You're doing too much. Put it that way. You're doing too much trying to tell me how hurt he is. I heard Charles Oakley interviewed and they asked him about Embiid. And I think he said that once upon a time, I said that I thought he might be the next Wilt Chamberlain. Now I think he might be the next Dunkin' Donuts. I'll leave it there. I'll save any more shade for a win after game five. Until then, we'll keep it cool. We'll keep it cool until then. Make sure you follow at Sports Ethos on Twitter, at Ethos Knicks, at The Watcher 7, Andre Gallagher. Let's thank Dexter Henry again at D Henry TV on Twitter. Until next time.